Radio Gorgeous supports women. Women support Radio Gorgeous. You'd never just stumble across where I'm about to go. It's a muse owned by the Duke of Westminster behind the back of the Grosvenor House Hotel in London's Mayfair. I'm going to interview Natalie Melton and Catherine Locke, two of a threesome who have invented a luxury goods company with a difference. They're not a conglomerate, they're not French, they do not spend tons of money on advertising. This is all about crafts. Not macrame, rag dolls or handmade rugs. This is top quality luxury crafts from all over Britain. And this is their pop-up shop. We're going to meet today the new craftsman. We're going to find out what is luxury crafts. According to the Sunday Times, they're a collection of the coolest crafters in the land. Hello, Natalie. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hello, good afternoon.
So prior to the new craftsman, you spent 5 years as a commercial director of arts and business. You oversaw a $2 million investment programme for the arts and worked with a wide range of leading businesses on their art sponsorship. Are people excited about British craft? You know, are you turning them on?
Definitely. I think people are very excited by it, actually. And, you know, this is an incredibly atmospheric space that we're sitting in. It's a Victorian stable. It has the original tiling on the walls. You know, you can walk into any restaurant in Soho or Shoreditch at the moment, and this is the look that they are aspiring to.
And they've paid a fortune to do it.
And we have this down a kind of back street in Mayfair that's been here for over 100 years. There's a sense of discovery. You know, We're not a conventional shop. The doors are closed. You would never find it. But I think when people do find it and step through the door, then they'll find a real treasure trove of beautiful objects. And the range of what we sell spans from, you know, beautiful beeswax candles made from London honey, which are £10, right through to exquisite pieces of furniture that take weeks to perfect and finish and craft that are £5,000. But behind all of those pieces are people who are constantly striving to perfect and improve what it is that they do, to strive to be the very best that they can be.
Now, craftsmen. Are there women? Are there women making things?
There are lots of women making things, and I would say that the split is pretty even between men and women. We spent a lot of time talking to the makers that we work with, and we asked a number of the female makers that we work with how they felt about us calling the company the New Craftsman, and they were all universal in saying that's how they would define themselves. We're seeing now a much quieter appreciation for beautifully made objects, and even within the luxury sector, that's what people are talking about. So a move away from ostentation, a move towards consideration, thoughtfulness, quality craftsmanship and genuine uniqueness.
So lovely to talk to you today. Thank you so much.
You've been
absolutely wonderful.
Thank you.
Follow us on Twitter, radio_gorgeous. Lots of love, darlings. Mwah. Hi, Catherine. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hi.
So you spent the last 15 years as a product, trend and brand developer for Sainsbury's, Habitat and John Lewis, working with factories and craftsmen internationally. In 2010, your focus became British made. You toured the British Isles to meet regional craftsmen and traditional manufacturers. And you also work with interior designers. But in your hand, you have an amazing map, which is a New Craftsman map.
Yes, absolutely. This map is a beautiful representation of the British Isles through our eyes, and it's specifically pointing out typical pieces and crafts and industry throughout Britain. One of the things which we're very keen to celebrate are the crafts from our local regions, which have come out of cultural needs, the materials which are available. But most importantly, they're things which are very authentic to the British Isles and can't be knocked off abroad.
So where are we going to start off on the map?
Well, we're going to go almost as far north as we can go, and that's the Orkney Islands. They're incredibly soft and they're absolutely beautiful for the winter months.
So can you describe a rug for me?
Yes, well, these sheep are very, very unusual that they come in about 8 natural colours.
Do you know what they're called, the sheep?
They're the North Ronaldsay breed of sheep, a primitive breed of sheep which is a natural to a native of the North Ronaldsay. I imagine few of your viewers will have heard of, but I would love to hear from anyone who's been there because it's an extraordinarily special place. And these sheep are pretty much feral. They can jump 4 foot in the air. The first thing that you need to be able to do if you're going to be working with these sheep and shearing them, etc., then you need to tame them.
Yeah.
They're sheepskin rugs. Yeah. These are from a very, very special place and a very special family.
Wow, it's really fluffy. I've never seen a sheep with long hair.
It's
and straight hair.
And very, very soft and a beautiful sort of misty colour.
Yeah, so all of them are different colours.
Yeah, so they start off in a very, 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 very pale, soft grey and then go through to dark chocolate brown. And then there's the red-headed one. I'm a redhead, so I particularly like that one. The one with the recessive gene.
Brilliant. So there are red-headed sheep as well as people in
Scotland. Absolutely, absolutely. No, it's very exciting. They moved to this very remote island and they wanted to save this breed of sheep. And so we wanted to help them by giving them a platform in Mayfair, which is probably as far away from the Isle of Oscar as you can possibly get. And what we're working on currently is a very special collaboration with one of our hand weavers here, who is spectacularly talented and a real favourite with the interior designers. And what we'll be doing is we'll be really celebrating this wool and the different colours of the sheep and be doing some very, very limited and very, very beautiful high-end hand weaves. We expect to have them as either wall hanging stroke tapestries or rugs, so really lovely items.
We've been to Scotland. Are we still in Scotland?
Well, we'll go to the other part of Orkney because there's a very, very special product.
Let's go down to Orkney.
We're looking at, I think, a chair called an Orkney chair, and it's a real cultural item up in Orkney. This is our bench version of the Orkney chair, which people will be able to see on our website. The thing about this chair, it's a real product of place and culture.
What's it made of? Yeah.
Well, originally the chairs were made from beech-combed wood and shipwreck wood, as it's a pretty much treeless island, but they could grow straw. So the original designers of these chairs would have been fishermen and farmers, and they would have been designing something for their needs using the materials that they could get. They have to use a Victorian binding machine, which is like a combine harvester, which they also have to have the skills to mend when it goes wrong. Yeah. So these people really have to be ultra skillful. What we've done is we've actually done a collaboration, which we're very keen to bring together craftspeople and modern designers and traditional makers. And Gareth Neal is from Dalston, and he's particularly interested in working with people with local and traditional skills. Kevin Gould is a young and brilliant chair maker up in Orkney, very open-minded. And the two work together on this beautiful interpretation, which really makes it a little bit more relevant to a contemporary audience, but just keeps the skills and really enhances the traditional skills as well.
Straw oak. It's a very light wood, isn't it? It's light colour wood.
Yes.
Yeah, and then the back is like a raffia. To me, it looks quite like, you know, early 60s kitchen. Where?
It's got a little bit of a Scandinavian feel about it as well.
Definitely.
And I guess being Orkney, it's right up in, towards those areas. Ercole is a brand that many of your listeners would have heard of, which has had a great renaissance. And I guess that was one of the first things to start this trend.
This is a large green chair. It's looks like the sort of thing you'd find in a farmhouse, maybe.
This was designed by a woman called Sarah Kay. She was one of 5 designers who went into a wood in Dorset and learnt how to make a traditional British chair from a bodger. And yes, the bodge job does come from that, but these certainly are not a bodge job. And they originally were green oaks, so fresh, raw oak, which you can carve with very, very easily. And these designers learnt some skills with this traditional maker and on the spot made modern interpretations of these chairs. And the great thing that they did is that they took these prototypes to the Milan Furniture Fair, which is the biggest contemporary furniture fair in the world. And they're an absolute sensation.
Yes. So where are we going to go in the country
Well,
next?
Why don't we go to Stoke-on-Trent?
Okay, that's famous for pottery and Robbie Williams.
What we'd like to do is, we understand that craftsmanship isn't just about a one-man band working in a studio, but also there's a lot of hidden craftsmanship within industry. It's a pottery in Stoke-on-Trent. Yeah. One of our ceramicists, Billy Lloyd, who is a brilliant, brilliant potter, and worked with one of our very famous English potters called Julian Stair as an apprenticeship, as an apprentice. He wanted to be able to start getting into batch production, so that would free him up to do a lot of work on individual projects and ideas. Yeah. So we decided that we were going to help Billy along by putting the first of a tableware set, a mug, a plate and a bowl, and soon to be side plate as well, into production. But we, as a startup company, could afford a bowl. And the bowl for me is, you know, the most multifunctional of all the pieces of the tableware. Yeah. And it's also quite, I think, representative going out and saying, please help us. But
so can you describe it, please?
The bowl is it's minimal, it's multifunctional, it's an everyday, timeless piece. And Billy really likes to pare things right back and take all the extra detail away and make them about pure shapes and forms and utter function. We had about 8 prototypes of this particular bowl made, and we wanted to make sure that it was fantastic for your cereal, that you could put a hot plate with steaming potatoes and stew in it, and you could have Eton mess overflowing in it at the end of your meal. So it really is a very multifunctional bowl. Where can we go now? We'll go to Warsaw.
Where's that?
Warsaw is right in the middle of the country. It's the Midlands. Yes, so Warsaw is known for its leather industry.
Okay. Because that's where they used to make shoes.
Yeah, yes. Northampton is still a great place to get some shoes made.
Yeah.
And
all the gentlemen's shoes particularly are still made
things
there,
like brogues, very trendy at the moment. And Deborah's family set up in the 1920s. There's a picture here of a huge factory, Art Deco factory. Once upon a time, it was an extraordinarily successful business.
It's an Art Deco factory in the middle of a field. That's why it's funny.
Oh, completely. And now, even funnier, they're going to put a whole load of yuppie flats there, I think.
Wow.
And they're still going to be in the middle of the field. But the business was set up at a time when exotic leather skins were very, very popular. But going out around the world and trying to gather a whole load of exotic leathers was not possible and extraordinarily expensive.
So when was that, Victorian?
Back at the turn of the last century, basically.
Yeah.
So what they did is that they invented a way of embossing leather skins so that they looked like reptile skins, lizard, crocodile, ostrich, without having to kill half the animal population.
We like that.
Yes. And so they were an absolutely thriving business and had many, many, many plates which embossed leather. And you'll see here, there's a beautiful pair of shoes which you may recognise.
Are they Vivian Westwood, Bernie?
These are the Vivian Westwood shoes which Naomi Campbell wore.
Fell down.
When she fell off the catwalk. And this is the very leather here. And basically, when the business closed down, Deborah's father still had lots of samples of the original leathers which they were embossing, which go back to the 1920s, but there wasn't enough to actually make a...
Oh, you can tell we're in a crafts place.
Yes, bang. So there wasn't enough leather to make into actual products, but what she's decided to do is work with some of the traditional workshops in Warsaw to make things like laptop covers and pencil cases,
so
things
and keyrings. Things that you really need.
Things that you really need in your life. The actual soft bridal leather is made in the workshops there. And then the
smell is exceptionally strong. It's wonderful.
Yes, yes. And the flashes of colours come from these amazing vintage leathers which her family produced. And you can choose your own colours, so you can personalise them.
Now we can look at one more product.
Okay.
Now, which is the star product?
Let's go around the corner and have a look at another product. A couple of couple of things. Okay. Can we do two more?
Yeah.
Good. We're looking at a book which is all about the grandmother of one of our suppliers. And this was this lady who, back in the 1950s, she's called Eileen Guthrie, and she was a lino print printer. And her granddaughter, Lucy, has taken all the archive, and she's reprinted all the fabulous and really, really sweet. There's something very, very innocent about the prints from the 1950s, but beautiful nursery fabrics with little porcupines and crocodiles and pussycats and kookaburras all over them.
Absolutely stunning cushion, which obviously they've used the prints, and then they've used a lovely kind of faded wash.
Yes.
It's a lovely pale blue on some really nice kind of heavy cotton.
Yeah. It's really interesting that there's quite a few makers that I've been speaking to who are taking the archives of their relatives and doing things with them.
I mean, that's what Laura Ashley, you know, that's what it was all about, wasn't it?
Yes, and we've got a new company called Mourn Textiles coming at Christmas, and that was the grandson has started weaving his grandmother's pieces, and she used to work for people like Sybil Connolly and Hartnell and all the couture houses.
Can't wait to see that.
Yes, these fabrics are now digitally printed, because that's the modern and more commercial way of doing it. But she uses really, really, really beautiful fabric.
Yeah. So how much would this cushion be?
That cushion's £80.
Okay, stunningly beautiful.
And our final piece that I was going to show you is, again, in the spirit of collaboration, which we love, these lights. And
the lights are... Can you describe them again?
They're hand-blown glass in a bell, a lovely bell-shaped.
You can hear them making a noise when you go near them, yeah. Because we're near them, there's a slight echo around our voice, yeah. So there's a lime green, there's a pewter, there's a see-through, there's frosted. You can have them commissioned to anything you want.
Yes, and then the pièce de résistance is Michael Rue made the glass, and he collaborated with Amy Betts. And Amy Betts is an embroiderer and a braider, and she makes rope, jewellery, which they're extraordinary art pieces. And what she very much wanted to do was to make something which was practical and functional and decorative and beautiful, but it was a product for her. Yeah. It's decorative cable. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that you can have the cables which we've suggested here, or we have many other suggestions.
Yeah, they're all here. We've got a pile of fun cables. I like that one.
Really,
Lurex, gold Lurex.
Lurex with beautiful, glittery yumminess. Yes, yes. But she's just an example of a really, really, really talented person who I absolutely know.
She does these by hand, does she?
She does them by hand and also by machine. And for Christmas, she's working on her next product, which is going to be a beautiful vanity mirror. And it's going to be a completely different, unique product on the market. So we're very excited about that one. And she really is as well. And that's the main point. We just want to be able to give these talented people the best start, kickstart possible.
Well, I know after meeting you two today, the enthusiasm you have cannot be defeated, you know. And it's so fantastic that you put them all together. That's the key, isn't it?
Yes, really? Yes.
Now, people will be listening all around the world. If they can't get to this wonderful garage in Mayfair, how can they get in contact with you?
Well, please do have a look at our website. First of all, there's a lot of stories and a lot of images and things to buy.
That's newcraftsman.com.
Thenewcraftsman.com.
The new, okay,
yes.
That's important.
And if there's anything that they would like to ask us about what's on the website, or possibly things which are not on the website but they've heard about, then just get in touch, because we are absolutely ready and raring to go to help people create products which they've really dreamt of having.
And that's what it's about. Dreams coming true.
Yes.
So lovely to meet you, Catherine.
Thank you.
You've made a lot of people very happy, I mean, out there in the crafts business. And that must be the most fulfilling thing ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wonderful. Lovely to meet you.
Thank you.
This has been a Radio Gorgeous production for RadioGorgeous.com. Get in contact with us. Contact us on info@RadioGorgeous.com. And to sign up for our shows to come once a week into your inbox. Who can think of anything better, darling? RadioGorgeous.com